This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Under a week away for the start of training camp, Eric Scalavino.
I'm tired already.
This is our last pre-training camp Roster Report podcast here on Patriots.com. It is Friday, July the 20th. Rookies are in town. They reported yesterday. And that's where we'll lead off our news here on the Roster Report because...
All rookies are here.
Yes. Why, what did I say?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what we're leading off with. All rookies are
this
here.
Guy, nobody brings a halt to a smooth open like Eric Scalavino. Reports yesterday indicated, first from Howard Balzer, our PFW friend and Sports Exchange buddy, who apparently has access to the NFL Wire, five Patriots rookies failed their physicals upon arriving in Foxborough, which we should tell you not only includes what you would consider a physical at your doctor, where they, you know, check things out, rub things, bump things, do whatever, but also the conditioning run. So there's a chance that of these five names, some of them are actually injured and some of them failed the conditioning run. We'll start with... Jeremy Ebert, the draft pick, was placed on active PUP after failing the physical, and reports from ESPN Boston indicated that he's dealing with a leg injury, and he was limited a little bit this spring when we saw him out there. The other four guys, undrafted players.
Oh, and the Herald followed that up with a more specific hamstring injury for Ebert.
The other four players were placed on active non-football injury, NFI. Jeremiah Warren, Justin Francis, which surprised me a little bit because he was sort of a rising star undrafted player in the spring, working along Vince Wilfork.
One of your sleepers.
Definitely a sleeper, although he might be a bit more sleepy now. Mm. Mark Zusevics, the offensive lineman out of Iowa who tore his
pre-existing combine,
clearly is injured and is going to be injured all year and watched at the spring workouts and will be on some list when the season starts, I assume. And Matt Rourke, the receiver out of Kentucky. So a couple of those guys may have failed the conditioning run. Who knows? One guy who didn't, because he wasn't among that list, but was here with the rookies, was Dante Hightower. Signed his contract this week in Foxborough.
Just in time.
And, you know, was this domino starting to fall now. Luck, Griffith,
yep,
the top of the draft, and everybody else who were unsigned starting to fall. And Hightower gets in the fold for the Patriots. One off-field note, roster removal, so to speak, the roster of the radio broadcasts on the Sports Hub 98.5, Gino Cappelletti calling it a career after, I believe, 28 seasons.
Hello!
No, actually, it's goodbye.
It's goodbye, but
thanks,
one of the all-time greats.
For a little while.
I want to get the number here.
Yeah, I'm
you have it off the top of your head?
I don't. I'm looking the...
52-year history. He was a part of 45 of those as either a player, a coach, or a color commentator.
Yep.
That's amazing.
I mean,
the man has seen this franchise. The highs, the lows, the goods, the bads. Fenway Parks and Harvard Stadiums and fires and, you know, nearly moving. Everything. He's seen it all.
Yeah. He going into last season, he had been a part of 30 seasons as a broadcaster. So 31. 31
Impressive.
Of those seasons as a broadcaster.
Impressive. He's seen it all. As I said, the highs and the lows.
Yeah.
You know, probably never thought way back when he was part of that ragtag group
the
of
AFL
Boston
team.
Patriots
yeah.
that, you know, someday there'd be a, what is it now, $1.4 billion franchise that's among
right.
the most valuable on the planet,
mm-hmm.
multi-time Super Bowl champion and what it's become. So a somewhat sad day, but good for him. Go out, retire.
Yeah.
You don't need these damn bus trips and plane flights anymore.
Yeah.
And, just have fun with your life.
His partner, Gil Santos, is going to give it a go for one more year.
One more round,
toughing
Tommy
it out,
Gunn.
Playing hurt a little bit this
coming
year.
Coming back from off-season health, serious health scare.
Yep.
But going to leg it out for one more year. And no official announcement on kind of how the rest of the broadcast will unfold. But Gino Cappelletti, very impressive career. You know, as Robert Kraft said, I think there'll never be another Gino Cappelletti, and there certainly won't. I mean, no one's going to be around here that long and have that unique a career as a player, borderline Hall of Fame player. Some people believe he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And then a coach for a short time, and then a longtime broadcaster. So well respected by everyone. You know, Bill Belichick clearly respected him going back to his playing days and then on. And they did a lot of game day interviews, one on one, that they would tape for the broadcast before in the hotel. So he is certainly going to be missed. And
yeah, we'll miss him on the bus on those road trips.
Yeah, was, just great guy.
Good guy to have to be around.
Great guy. Very funny. Sometimes a little off color funny and different things, but,
it's like you're, it's
just
like
a
you're,
good guy.
Either you're, you know, an old, great uncle or a grandfather who, you know, completely different era and would, you could say things that you could get away with because of, you know, well, where he came from, the era and all that.
The thing that jumps into my mind is the trip to Seattle, the morning after a Manny Pacquiao fight.
That's right.
A waiter came to the breakfast table who
kind
bears some resemblance to Manny Pacquiao, and he said something like, "Great fight you had last night," or something. I was like, okay, Gino, probably we can move on from that a little bit. But he will certainly be missed. Moving on, guys who could be coming here, may not be coming here, who knows. You want to say it? Since you know how to pronounce it better than I do.
Vasante Shanko.
The tight end from the Minnesota Vikings, former third-round pick by the Giants. Very productive tight end. Probably a good value signing if he ends up landing in New England. Now, I know he turned down $1.2 million or so to sign in Seattle earlier this offseason, but certainly not a pure blocking tight end or definitely more of a pass catcher. But, I mean, this is a guy who's had multiple 40 and 50 catch seasons.
Yeah, and I when we were targeting free agent possibilities way back in mid to late February, his name jumped out at me on the tight end list as someone that I thought that they might take from the fact that he's, you know, an experienced veteran, a productive player in this league for a lot of seasons, somebody who might be able to provide a little bit of that Algie Crumpler type leadership from, you know, just from having been around for so long.
Been there, done that.
Right. Then they went out, they went after Daniel Fells, and as we've said on our radio show several times, we haven't seen Fells since he was in this radio studio on our show.
It's been a while.
Yeah, he's been hurt throughout the spring, and the fact that they're looking at yet another veteran tight end gives me pause as to what's going on with
me too. Until I see him, Fells. I'm assuming he is injured, not just, you know, banged up, not just a hamstring, but injured, because we never saw him on the field, unlike all the other
players. Not at all.
Everybody else was out there,
or anything.
So I have my concerns as to Daniel Fells' health status.
However,
with the team.
If Shanko is brought on board and has to take the place of Fells, I would feel very comfortable in his being able to do that.
Sure. The only question I have is, what were you looking for in that third tight end role? Mm. Were you looking for part-time blocker, part-time pass? Yeah. I think he leans more towards the pass catcher side. But certainly, you know, I think it's clear they don't want to try to skate by with two tight ends again, as they did last year with Hernandez and Gronk. And, you know, late in the year, Gronkowski got hurt. So regardless of Gronkowski's value, how good he is, they didn't have anybody to replace him with, and they obviously run a lot of multiple tight end sets. So this is a body and a proven body that's been successful in the league.
And one thing to consider, when Crumpler came here, he actually started his career as more of a known as a receiving tight end,
and
had to develop into that blocking role because of, you know, his age and a little bit because of his,
be
you know, his weight too. Let's not be not beat around the bush there.
He had the size to block.
He certainly did.
It'd be interesting to see if Shanko. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Vasante. Would evolve into that here. Because, as I said, he's been primarily a pass catcher, whereas at least Algie had started to make that transition in Tennessee, I believe, was his stop before here. So it'll be interesting. And as always, Andre Carter is still... Andre Carter is kind of our low-level Dwight Howard. Like, he's just kind of been this ongoing, you know, is he going to be here?
Right.
Is he not? What's it going to cost to get him here? Does he want to be here? He wants Pro Bowl money. He wants 3 years. Well,
at least there's only been one team involved.
Right, that's true. Yeah, it's not quite at the same level of Dwight Howard, but I still am holding out hope, and the Patriots still have that open roster spot sitting at 89 as we head toward, as I said, less than a week away from training camp. So both of these guys could be brought in. Clearly they could get rid of somebody, but I'm still holding out hope that Andre Carter will be a Patriot.
Yeah, and don't be surprised if they start camp with 89.
Sure.
And leave that 90th open just for the event that there's an injury catastrophic at some other position that they really need to fill in or whatever. They, you know, they might just want to hold that a little close to their vest.
Sure. There's some unique rules on that though this year. I don't know if you read about that, a little twist in the CBA.
That you have to
have. Sign guys, they then can't practice for, I believe, 3 days if they weren't previously on a team. It's basically the old days of high school and college where you have to have some days on the field, you know, without being in pads and practicing.
Right.
if you don't start training camp with another team and then join a team, I believe there's a three-day window before you can start practicing. Not that that would be a huge deal.
Right.
I mean, they'd probably want Carter to take some time to get, even if he is healthy, to get in shape or whatever. But just something to bear in mind if they choose to leave that spot open, who they could fill it with.
And I think now that you say that, my mind is starting to jog a little bit with, I think there might be a rule, too, now that they have to have a 90 limit. They have to fill that limit, I think.
I don't think so.
I don't know. That maybe I'm thinking of something else, but I'll check on that when we go upstairs.
And Eric will update you on Tuesday on PFW in Progress because I am pumped. We're starting to get into that time of year where there's actual football to talk about.
Yeah.
There's practice on the horizon, plenty of transactions. I'm sure Bill always makes transactions in camp, guys coming and going, injuries, guys get cut. We are right on the brink of football.
And I think this is going to be even faster camp than we've had in the past, Andy, because not just the fact that we're used to the new sort of format of training camp with the new CBA, a year into it now. But we just found out today, too, that the Patriots and the Buccaneers are now going to have joint practices down in Tampa. And once we get through that first set of joint practices with the Saints in that first preseason game, it's going to be a little bit of a lull at first because it's going to be, you know, just the kind of steady grind of training camp. But after that, when you get to that second preseason game, it's all downhill from there because they've got a game on a Monday night. They go right down to Tampa Bay. They spend the rest of the week down there. They have a game that Friday, so very short turnaround. They come back early Saturday morning in the wee hours. They have to turn around that next Tuesday and go to New York for the final preseason game on a Wednesday, a rare Wednesday game, and that's it for the preseason. So once you get through that first game against the Saints, you really then have a 10-day window where there's all this activity of your last three games, and then boom.
And it's
regular
great.
Season time.
It's great.
Yeah, let's get to it.
some ball.
I can't stand the preseason anymore.
So one more week until training camp, Thursday afternoon, 1:30, Gillette Stadium. Be here. Bring your kids. Take them to the fan zone. Have
fun.
Go to
the Hall of Patriot Place.
And one last quick note I think we just want to throw out. We're a Patriots.com, PFW in Progress. We're a global and certainly a national following and family here. And just throw out our condolences to anybody who may have been tied to the shooting in the theater in Aurora.
Yep.
Our thoughts and prayers go out to the families, friends, loved ones, anyone involved with that. Flat out sucks. That's all I can
horrific
say about
scene.
It.
Horrific scene,
too many psychos in this world, but hopefully we can take your mind off such things every once in a while with football and entertainment. So until next Friday, until Thursday of training camp, enjoy the last week before football. Peace out. Like you the one drinking what Godzip.com. Now I got a word for your tongue. How many Rolling Stones you bought? Yeah, I got a brand new spirit speaking and it's done. Woke up on the side of the bed like I won. Talk like the wind in my chest that that's on. G5 in the U.S. to Taiwan. Now who can say that? I want to play back. Mama knew I was a needle in a haystack. I'm a body boy. Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.